Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, our number two live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Got good stuff today. Nick Nurse, coach of the Raptors. Greg Jennings, Weston McKennie, great soccer player in America. And he's aggressive. Like a lot of our soccer players are finesse guys. Weston McKennie's tough. He'll go steal a ball from you. He's an aggressive guy. He's aggressive in the air. He's aggressive possession guy. He's my kind of guy. Too many of our soccer kids grow up at prep schools. Nicey. I'm tired.
Halo grit.
I like guys that are tough. If you go watch, British players or Spanish players, they got attitude. They're tough.
Soccer was my second favorite sport in high school.
I call it the beautiful game. A couple years ago, I came up with a phrase. I was watching it. I'm like, that's a beautiful game. And now everybody uses that. But by the way, I want to go on just a rant here for a minute and a half. Can I go on a rant for a minute and a half?
Yeah,
so Joy
can.
Gets a lot of crap from Detroit Lion fans. Like, Lion fans, look in the mirror. You're like the laughingstock of the league now that Cleveland's good. So it's a prime example. Whenever I see a company make a horrible decision, not that necessarily I've worked at, But I see a company that makes a bad decision, like a boneheaded decision. My first guttural reaction, my instinct is, oh, that's a company that has a culture of speaking out against speak. You know, you can't have an opinion unless you're the boss. I am the boss. My opinion matters. Because if you have a culture with a company where everybody gets an opinion, like you sit in a room and there's a man, there's women, there's African-Americans, there's all sorts of diversity, and everybody's got opinions, you generally don't make huge mistakes because you get a bunch of different angles on stuff. I have a friend who owns a business. He always says, I've got a woman with neck tattoos all over. I've got religious people. I just want a bunch of opinions because I don't want to miss anything. And if you'll have a hole in your game if you only listen to people just like you. You'll have a hole in your game. You won't see. My wife sees stuff. She's a creative. She's an artist. She says stuff and sees stuff I don't even see. I'm like, what? How did you? How? I don't know. She's a different pair of eyes. She is wired differently. She's an artist. She's a designer. So I always ask her opinion on my career. She doesn't know sports, but I'm like, what are you seeing with my career? What are you seeing with my kids? I just want a different opinion. So I'll give you a great example. When ESPN on Monday Night Football put Booger McFarland on a crane, nobody in the room raised their hand and went, what happens when it rains and snows? He'll be blocking fans. This is a horrible idea. They got rid of it after a year. It was embarrassing. Did nobody in the room of the 25 people go, this is moronic. He's a smart guy. Put him in the booth and talk. Well, that tells me that one or two people made that decision, did not ask opinions of other people in the room. That's an egregiously bad decision. NBC doesn't make that decision. CBS not making that decision. Fox not making that decision. That's just not a shot at ESPN. That tells me that one or two people made that decision and did not ask for a woman's opinion, for somebody else's opinion, for a young person's opinion. You just laughed at. I mean, the first time I saw it, I'm like, this is who didn't raise their hand at the meeting? So the Lions have been picking on Joy Taylor. And I've said, there is something wrong with the organization because look at the coaches they keep hiring. They keep whiffing massively. That tells you not enough people in the building get an opinion. Not enough people get an opinion in Detroit. Matt Patricia, that's the best you could do. I mean, Tampa got Bruce Arians. There's been a lot of guys. I mean, Rams got Sean McVay. Niners got Kyle Shanahan. We've seen a bunch of home run hires. We saw Miami Dolphins. Brian Flores, Sean McDermott-Buffalo. There's great coaches everywhere. Matt Patricia? So this tells you what concerns me about the Lions. They've come out with a new hat. Look at the hat. It's got an L for losers, for losing. There's a term on the internet. That's an L. The Lions have an L. The losingest franchise in pro sports has a giant L on their hat. That's too few people having an opinion on the hat. Not a single person went, time out. We're the losingest franchise in the NFL. We're going to get roasted for this. A big L on the Detroit Lions hat. You don't get an opinion on Joy. Not one. If you would have had one young person in the room who does social media, they would. I picked up on this, and I'm not sitting around on Instagram all day. I was like, L? Put a D. What? Don't put an L. Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings has a W on his hat. He was a winner. Packer, he's joining us live. Greg Jennings. You're wearing Lions color. Be honest.
I knew it. The moment you started on the rant and you showed the hat and I looked down at my shirt, I'm like, I'm from Michigan. Hey, I was a Lions fan growing up. I'm not going to deny it.
L. Who put an L on their hat?
Yeah, that wasn't great marketing, great branding, well thought out. That just wasn't smart.
All right, so am I being harsh, or I never hear Jordan Love talk? I don't see video. They won't let people in. They're hiding him. It feels like they're hiding him. Or am I being cynical? I mean, I went and looked this morning. Kyler Murray, minicamp last year, first camp. I found video, and I found him commenting. Are they hiding Jordan Love? That's what it looks like to me, or am I being too harsh?
Well, no, I don't think that they're hiding Jordan Love. I just think that they're not allowing him to become the face of the Green Bay Packers because they want that, and it should be and remain Aaron Rodgers if they're able to salvage what the relationship has been and what it looks like now. So I think that's most of the reason why we haven't seen Jordan Love out in public. In front of the cameras, speaking up because it's really not his team. They don't want to send that message in terms of how Aaron Rodgers would interpret it and say, oh, so it's his team now. So I think they're doing the right thing by not allowing him to be out, be the spokesperson for the Green Bay Packers right now.
Okay, so you still have sources there, and you and Aaron don't always get see eye to eye, so I don't have a problem with that. But you got enough people there. Can you give me an honest answer? What are you hearing on Jordan Love?
He's struggling. I mean, here's the thing. They like him. They do like Jordan Love. They love his personality, but it's going to take time. And this is why they want Aaron Rodgers back in the building. But I truly believe that even with all of that, that's why Aaron Rodgers is so concrete with his stance on what he desires. Because he knows. Players know. I've heard Joy say this. I've heard you say it. So many people. Players know when a player is ready and when they're not. I remember talking to Larry Fitzgerald when the Arizona Cardinals started having, I think it was, I can't even think of the kid's name, Michael, one of the receivers. And he got into trouble. And Larry was like, well, they thought he was going to be my replacement, but I kind of knew going in that he wasn't going to be on the up and up when it comes to off the field issues and things like that. So he knew his longevity was going to continue on.
Right.
It's the same with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, he sees Jordan Love every day. He saw him in practice. He saw him in the film study room. Players know when you're not ready mentally and when you're not ready physically. And so with that, I think that's what's going to make it really, really hard on the Packers to not give Aaron whatever it is that he's asking for.
You know, Aaron's obviously a smart guy. He's done well with his money. I'll throw this out. Joy brought up a story earlier where if Aaron retired financially, he could save some money. And I thought to myself, Aaron's always been different. He's just a different cat. You know what I mean? Like and that's not a criticism. He's just different. Not all quarterbacks are the same. They're not built the same. They don't play the same. They don't have the same personalities. And, you know, I look at Aaron and I think to myself, I'll ask you a question. If Aaron got the Jeopardy job, which pays about $10 to $12 million a year. And he could live in Malibu, which he has a house. He's a California kid. Do you think he would contemplate retirement if he got that job?
100%. I 100% wow. believe that he would contemplate retirement.
Wow.
Because you got to think, Aaron, he ticks a little different than everybody
right,
else.
Right.
As much as we want to say, oh yeah, he loves football. Yeah, he loves football, but he also loves other things. And he has expressed with great admiration his relationship with the former Jeopardy host, rest in peace, Alex Quebec. But he also understands this opportunity is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Not that playing football for the Green Bay Packers and being the MVP of the National Football League and winning Super Bowls isn't, but he's done that. He's experienced that. And this is something new. And what people fail to realize oftentimes is when you've accomplished so much in your life and there's a new presentation in front of you, there's a new opportunity, and it's exciting to you, and you can wake up and you can be passionate about it and you can be enthused about it, you're going to sniff at that a little bit more. You're going to sift around and make sure that, you know what, if this becomes an option, I may really explore this. This may be a real reality for me.
That's the most interesting answer you've ever given me, and you've given me a lot of good ones. You know, it's funny about that because it's obviously a hypothetical, but you know Aaron better than I do, obviously. If Aaron retired today, like he's just over it, I don't want to play for the Packers. I'm over it. I'm going to retire. And he got the Jeopardy job. It wouldn't change a thing I think about him. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I always preferred him over Favre. He's got a Super Bowl. I think at times he could be difficult. He can play for the next 7 years and win a Super Bowl. I'll still think he's difficult. I think he's a unique talent. I think he's one of the smartest guys I've ever seen in the history of the league. I think he looks different when he plays. It would change nothing. I mean, I'm being totally honest here. If Aaron retired today, got Jeopardy, he would be wouldn't even consider his first ballot Hall of Famer. I would never. Another ring is not the only thing Aaron would be giving. Another ring doesn't matter to him. It doesn't.
It doesn't. It does in a sense of what you can add to what you've already done. Outside of that, he's everything that you just mentioned, Colin. He's a winner. He's an MVP, a three-time MVP. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He has all the accolades, both individually and as a team, that you can get. And so when you've accomplished that, it's not that you become entitled. It's not that you become complacent, but you want more if more is available to you. But once you see that you're those who you're in lockstep with, or you thought you were in lockstep with, are being counterproductive to how we are going about getting it, and you're no longer in agreement with that, now you're going to start to entertain other options that are going to fulfill you the way you truly and ultimately desire.
Yeah, I mean, he's a music fan. He's a movie fan. Aaron's got a lot of interest beyond football. I want to stop it right there. That's an interesting way. Listen, you can keep wearing that shirt, but you have to at least admit that if you had 30 people in a room and you were designing a Lions hat, you would have said, guys, you can't put an L.
When you say it, I'm there has to be one, because that's the first thing you think about. Like, I don't, as a competitor, wins and losses, you don't put a big L when you are a team that has struggled to get away from L's. Like, you just don't do it. Someone had to have thought it, but wasn't brave enough to speak up in that room.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Likewise.
Michigan guy, Lion fan. It is interesting. You brought that retirement story up. If Aaron got it today and it's $12 million bucks and I can live in Los Angeles, I just bought a Malibu house, I'm dating an actress, I think it's his fiance. It's like Aaron might just be like, why go get my head beat in? You've drafted my replacement. I don't want to go back there. I know I'm going to be gone in a year. I'll retire. Trade me in a year. I'd rather not take the hits. Seriously, I get it.
It's like Greg said, he has achieved every accomplishment that you can achieve. Like, you can want more.
He's not going to catch Brady.
No.
I think he's a better quarterback than Favre. That's my personal opinion. I think Favre was a little bit better of a little guy's guy, a little bit. He's got a little leadership alpha thing, but I always thought Aaron played it smarter football than Favre. Favre was too gunslinger for me. That's interesting. Something to think about.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This weekend, the Westminster Dog Show is on Fox. On Saturday, it's the Masters Agility Championship beginning at 5 Eastern. Then Sunday at 7, it's Best in Show. Catch it all on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Nothing against these dogs, but they ain't Buddy and Yossi. Not my two. Tell you that right now. Nobody beats Buddy and Yossi. They don't prance around.
In case they're watching.
No, they don't mess around. You know, Buddy does. I bought pizza last night. The rest of the family cleared out. Buddy knows my weakness. So when he whines, I generally appease him. And so he, as I'm sitting there at the table eating, comes right between my legs and looks up at me. Because he knows at the end of the pizza, I'm going to give him some crust. And I did because I'm a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And I like dogs. He just knows it. He can totally read me. You know what he does now? You know what my dog does now? He puts his chin on my knee when I'm eating. And he just stares at me. He's like, Daddy.
Because he knows you're going to give in.
I'm starving, Daddy. He wins every time. Dogs are so smart.
Yeah, of
He's
course.
He's totally manipulating me.
Of course. Yeah, but I mean, it's because you do it.
Yesterday, I had ice in a cup. He loves chewing ice.
Yeah.
He walked over. He knew not to touch the cup. But he walked over, looked at the cup. I'm not joking. And looked at me. That's what he did. He looked at the cup and then he stared at me. He was like,
are you going to give me some ice?
I was just like, hey, how does it? He's so smart. He doesn't need to be on the Westminster Dog Show.
He already won.
Smartest guy. By the way, I like Pro Football Focus. You got to take this down, though. They ranked the NFL best coaches last year in the NFL. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm going to give you the top six. Andy Reid, number one, John Harbaugh, two, Matt LaFleur, three, Sean McDermott, four, Sean Payton, five, Belichick, six. Matt LaFleur ahead of Belichick. Okay. Did Pro Football Focus watch the playoff game? I don't care how many little things Matt does right. Belichick gets the big things. Just say this out loud. You're at home. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. You trail by eight. There's 2:08 left. You chose a field goal. So Matt LaFleur either flunked math in high school or he doesn't have guts. Either one does not qualify you to be a top three coach. I don't care about the data. Matt LaFleur is not Belichick. If Paxton Lynch was my quarterback, I'd go for it. Just think of the two quarterbacks in that situation. You took the ball out of Aaron's hands and you gave it to the greatest quarterback ever. It'd be one thing if there was 3 minutes and 20 seconds and you were handing it over to Johnny Manziel. You had Aaron. You're giving it to Tom. Bad decision. And I don't care about all the data and the little stuff. If you got it, folks, 208, you don't, Tom Brady with a great O-line, great weapons, great clutch. All Tom had to do is complete one throw. I mean, that decision got mocked, by the way, on Jeopardy. Belichick maybe didn't have a great year with all the opt-outs and Brady leaving, but he's not getting mocked on Jeopardy. So it is, PFF, love you, take that thing down. That just, credibility shot, can't do that. Don't care what the analytics say. Don't care what the data says. You can do all the little things right. Little things, in the end, Andy Reid gets the quarterback right. And that's simply Chris Ballard. You know, they go from a Peyton Manning, they go from Andrew Luck. You can screw everything else up. It just doesn't matter. I mean, it's like Green Bay, Favre to Rodgers. You can whiff on 100 draft picks. You do that right, you're fine. You make the playoffs. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Yeah, if you're at that point in the playoffs, you're good enough to be there. But the playoffs aren't about being good enough. It's about the situations.
Yeah, I mean,
decisions that you make in the moments.
Just think about the quarterbacks. I'm going to take the ball from the MVP and give it to the GOAT. Just on that, if the quarterback was a stiff you were handing it to, I wouldn't do that.
Well, just the math doesn't add up.
Well, remember Belichick years ago went for it. He was in Indianapolis, and they had like a 4th-and-3, and they went for it. And they did not get it. And it was like his own 37-yard line. And afterwards he said, well, why would I give the ball to Peyton Manning? What was that? At home, I'm going to give Peyton Manning the ball in the dome. We went for it because I've got a great quarterback, and I'm giving it to a great quarterback. That's getting the big thing. That's why I didn't crush Belichick for it, if I recall, because, you know, you don't want to give great quarterbacks the ball.
Also, the math doesn't add up.
The math doesn't add up. So even if you kick a field goal, we still need a touchdown to win.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. So just before last night's win against the Hawks, Joel Embiid found out that he did not win the MVP award, but he said the award is not what he is focused on this season.
I'm focused on the playoffs. I'm focused on winning the championship. Like I've been saying all season, we got a good chance. So I'm not worried about, you know, those awards and stuff. You know, if and when I'm holding that trophy, you know, anything else won't matter.
I think I agree with him and I believe him. And they do have a great chance to win the championship this year. I think I would say if I was a player like a Joel Embiid, like a Jokic, obviously the MVP is still a huge honor.
Right.
But my goal, as always, is to win a championship.
Sure.
I think once you get to a certain part of your career where maybe winning a championship is no longer that realistic. Like, well, obviously, we're still fighting for it and still working for it and still playing for it. But you know the team that you're with is not going to be able to win an actual championship that year. Or you have several championships, so you want to kind of, you know, have some individual awards as well. Then the MVP might mean more to you. Like, I fully believe Joel Embiid is not even thinking about the MVP. Like, he maybe thought about it at some point. Like, I might win the MVP this season. And then it's a passing thought.
I got to be honest with you. I totally agree with you. I do not think great players care about it overwhelmingly. I think LeBron's been petty about it.
But he deserves to.
Yeah, I mean, when you get ridiculously overlooked, it becomes a thing. But I think when you get to Tom Brady level and most, like Michael Jordan and Kobe, it is about the wins.
Yeah.
Now, I do think money matters because money is a sign of respect. But once the media votes on stuff, great athletes don't care about the media. They care about money. They care about titles. They don't care about the media's opinion. Phil Jackson has one NBA Coach of the Year award. The award doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a useless award. If Phil Jackson's got one best coach in my lifetime and in basketball, by far.
I think it matters more for, you know, situations where it's a massive change, like Monty Williams this year or Tom Thibodeau. Like,
well, Russell Wilson, he deserves votes.
Yes.
Like Russell Wilson, if Russell said...
But that's a point similar to LeBron, where it's like, it's become egregious.
It's become embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing for the writers that Russell Wilson can't get votes.
Yeah, but I think like someone like Jokic, who obviously just won, or Joel Embiid, it's like, I'm concerned at this point with this squad about winning a championship.
Right.
Like, I have a real actual chance of winning a championship this year, and he was unbelievable last night and is, of course, unstoppable. Series is now tied 1-1. Game 3 is on Friday, and the Sixers are currently favored at -1 in Game 3, according to Fox Bet. Another great performance last night, Donovan Mitchell. Jazz were down by 13 to the Clippers at halftime.
Good Lord.
Donovan Mitchell didn't feel well, but he said he wasn't going to let it slow him down.
I was definitely, you know, feeling it a little bit, but, you know, sometimes you just got to dig deep into a different place. And, you know, I was getting my ass kicked individually the first half on both ends of the floor. Wasn't making the right reads. There were situations that I was just being lazy, you know, and letting that fatigue kind of get to me. So, I came in at halftime. I was just like, look, I'm just going to have to find a way. And that was the biggest thing for me. And you hear that with what Coach said.
He scored 32 of his 45 in the second half.
He was insane. He was absolutely – it's one of those Damian Lillard halves where you're just like, okay, Steph Curry has these two. Like, I give up. You can't stop him.
Well, great players also have the ability to, like he said, he recognized he's not having a good game and flip a switch. And
he was sick, apparently.
Take over. Yeah, he said he wasn't feeling well, and he just was like, just powered through, and I'm going to have an incredible game. This is the third time he scored at least 45 points in the playoffs, and he's only played in 28 career playoff games.
That's amazing. When I'm sick, day's washed. Like, it's over. I can't perform when I'm sick. I don't have that.
I've powered through. I'm probably not going to give you my best show, but it's going to be a show.
Donovan gave you his best performance ever sick. That's really unbelievable.
So we're basically average, Colin.
I was just saying. I think we are.
That's what we learned.
Humbling moment for us.
We're like, yeah, we'll be all right. Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill are competing for the Saints quarterback job, starting job, and both of them are highly motivated, and they talked about it. So 1 year, Jameis talked about, 1 year not playing has just made me even hungrier to get back at the helm and lead a team. My about to be 7 years in this league has been a blessing because I worked my whole life to have the opportunity to be a starting quarterback in this league. And Taysom said, I've been able to tailor my workouts and everything to just being a quarterback, just knowing and feeling I won't have to take on as much as I did last year. So that's been the emphasis. But the mindset of getting better every day and improving on what you've done in the past hasn't changed. So Taysom is now leaning in on totally being a starting quarterback, as what is he's talking about here. Obviously, he's used very differently in the offense last year. He did take 491 snaps in the 2020 season, Taysom did, compared to Jameis's 55. But
they're opposite players.
Jameis throws, has played as a starting quarterback for years.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis throws a beautiful ball, sometimes in the wrong uniform, but he throws a beautiful ball. Taysom's a great athlete. Like, Jameis, a good athlete. Like, Taysom's an insane athlete. Jameis Winston throws a beautiful ball. His problem has been in Bruce Arians' system, let her go, babe. Tom works perfectly in that system, but it was almost like Bruce Arians was giving a guy who loves the green light more of a green light. Like, if you had a kid and they liked fast cars, don't buy them a Maserati for their 16th birthday. You know, get them a nice car, but if they've already got that in them, that they're risk takers, it's 16. Don't give him a Maserati. Like, Jameis loves to let it rip.
And Tom has the ability and wants the weapons. But he wants that option, but he has the ability to dial it back, and that's why it works. Normally, I hate quarterback competitions because that really means you don't have a quarterback if you have to do this going into training camp. But yeah, they're paying Taysom Hill, signed a 2-year, $21 million contract, so they're going to obviously lean into him a little bit. And he's a great athlete as well, so he's a huge weapon for their offense. I'm really interested to see who ends up getting this job because, one, you know, Jameis is in a new situation now. He's gone to learn from Drew Brees. He's, you know, it's a different situation than Arians in Tampa. He had this eye surgery. He's changed his body.
If you really are honest, if you're an honest person and you love Tebow's game, then you should really love Taysom Hill. If you're fighting for Tebow to get a shot at quarterback, why not choose the significantly better quarterback, Taysom Hill? Taysom Hill is Tebow with 1,000 times more throwing and running talent. He runs a 4.4. Tebow runs a 4.8. Tebow's not close to Taysom Hill, the athlete. But when people compare the two, it's like, yeah, but why wouldn't you want the better version? I mean, Tebow can't play quarterback in the league. You can win games with Taysom Hill. Like, you can win.
You absolutely can. And he's been there. He's in the system. Like, and he's been leaning into learning how to be a starting quarterback. That's why I really want to see who they end up giving this job to, because I think that Jameis has clearly put in some effort into improving his game, and Taysom has been there, and we know what he's capable of doing as an athlete in that system. So it'll be interesting to see who they give it to.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I got so much stuff today. I'm all wound up. So much stuff. I am such a sucker for dogs. For a nice dog. If people don't like dogs, I'm kind of out on them. There's certain things I'm just out on people. I can't have cheap friends. Done. I've dropped friends. You go out to eat with somebody and they're cheap on the tip, I'm out.
Not tipping is completely unacceptable.
I've dumped multiple friends.
The worst is when you go out with a group of people.
Oh, and they count.
And you don't know that somebody is one of those people. And then it's like six or seven people. And they're like, I would like, at the end, they tell them, like, if you want to pay for yourself, do everyone a favor. Tell the waitress ahead of time. I mean, it saves everyone time and effort. Yeah, nobody cares if you want to pay for yourself. Just tell them ahead of time.
Yeah, just
you want to wait till the very end. Everyone's ready to go. I didn't have this ranch.
Oh, God, it's painful. And if you're not good with dogs, if you don't like dogs, you're a serial killer. And if you, I mean, seriously, I'm not going to hang around you. And if you like are nitpicking every nickel, go away, eat at home. Just don't go to a restaurant.
Or just tell the waitress at the beginning of the meal. It's so much more courteous.
Just tell the waitress, I'm really cheap and socially awkward. I just want you to know that as you serve me and work your arse off making $9 an hour. I got strong opinions today. I'm not taking it from anybody.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More than sunshine and blue skies, what makes summer great? ButcherBox meat sizzling on the grill. Sign up today. Get a free pack of bacon every box life of your membership. ButcherBox.com/HERD. So what's fair is fair. We've been saying about Jordan Love. I said yesterday he's a Loch Ness monster. We can't get video of him. It's like every couple years we get a glimpse of him. Let him talk. Let him play. Let us see him. It feels like you're hiding him from us. Yesterday was really bad at practice. Now, it's practice, but, you know, you shouldn't be bad at practice against teammates. You know their strengths and weaknesses. You know the offense. You know the defense. Today, Jordan Love was great. According to Rob Demofsky and Jason Wilde, who were both critical of him earlier, these are Packer guys, but they're not homers. They said he was great today. He was so hot that the tight end coach for the Packers, Justin Outen, started fanning him with his paper. That's a good sign. So Jason Wilde says he was so great. He made a great, perfect 30-yard downfield throw to Aaron Jones, great running back. The coach was fanning him with a notepad after Jones's catch. For as erratic as he was yesterday, he was exceptional today. There you go. Now let him talk.
Well, they're allegedly letting him talk today. So
they also had another two-minute drill. Hit Alan Lazard. It was very good. We are America's honesty brokers. If you're good, we'll say it. If you're not, we'll say it. It's not, we're not taking sides here. Joy and I don't like crappy football. Don't be crappy. If you are, we'll rip you. If you're great, we'll laud you. So the pressure's not on us. It's on you. Johnny Manziel, I didn't say nice things. He wasn't any good. Jamarcus Russell stinks. I said it. But when you're good, Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow, I was very, very critical of Joe Burrow. I was very cynical. I watched two games. I came in Monday, and I'm like, okay, I was wrong. Kid's really good. I said he'd be Tony Romo. Looks better early than Tony Romo was. We can be honest about this. So we're not trying to be right. We're trying to be accurate, right? Like, if the guy stinks, he stinks. You, as fans, have these opinions, and you never waver from them. Like, I'll move off something immediately. I was a Ben Simmons fan until last night. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, his teammates came out. Aaron Rodgers' teammates came out and said, we've got his back. Devontae Adams and his great tackle, David Bakhtiari. And that is important, by the way. There's been a lot of stories that Aaron Rodgers, the fans are against him, the media's picking sides, the front office doesn't like that. None of that matters. Folks, none of it matters. We know that Aaron doesn't go to church in Green Bay. He doesn't go to church. We know that Aaron is a little bit of a loner anyway. He's a little bit of his own cat. He's not going to the grocery store. Fans, if they boo him, he's wearing a helmet. He'll barely hear it, and they're not going to boo him very long. Here is something. I mean, Brett Favre literally went and played for the Vikings, came back, and they cheered him. You don't have to be loyal to your city. Everybody gets the game. Tom Brady played New England for 20 years, left. A month later, he was asked about New England. He's like, I'm never going there again. Nobody cared. Okay, United States men's national team just won a tournament, and I thought it was as big a win as the United States men's national team had had in like 8 years. Weston McKennie is one of their young stars. He's 22. He is starring overseas, which is a great sign for American players. If you can star overseas and come back and play for us, you're a legitimate star. Weston McKennie now joining us live. Midfielder for Juventus. By the way, one of the things I like about your game is you're aggressive in the air. You'll go out and you'll take the ball from people. You got exceptional foot skill. You're very good. I don't remember a lot of players, as somebody who has loved U.S. men's national team for 20, 30 years, I don't remember a Weston McKennie. I like the way you play. So let's talk about that game against Mexico. It was chippy. They were throwing water bottles. Weston, was that the craziest thing you've ever been a part of as in your life in soccer?
It's definitely been, you know, I've had my experiences in the soccer world, but, you know, it was definitely something that was special, something that, you know, I love those type of games and those type of moments, and people throwing water bottles and chicken bones and lemons, and I'm sitting there picking them up, trying to make a margarita for one of them. Definitely a good experience.
Yeah, tell me a little, because Mexico's for real. To me, this is not your typical win. This is America's rival. And as a viewer, I thought, oh, this is not your typical match. Did it feel different to you beating Mexico?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because you know, whenever there's so much emotion invested into a game, and there's so much, you know, there's fight and grit and everything, like the win just feels so much sweeter when it goes over an extended period of time. You know, you had everything possible in that game, and I remember when the ref was coming back after awarding them the PK, I was like, damn, you're really trying to make a telenovela here. So he's like really trying to spice up the whole game, and you had everything. The coach got a red card, you had a streaker, you had two PKs, you had a last minute PK got saved, you had it was everything. So
well, you were the 2020 player of the year, you and Christian Pulisic, and there's emerging stars everywhere. Let's go back. I like your game. One of my criticisms has been of American players is I want guys that got dog in them. I want alpha. I want, because I watch Brazil and Argentina and Chile, and these players, they got a chip, and you play it like most soccer players I've grown up watching. Where did that come from, your style?
Honestly, I've always had that. I mean, I grew up with older siblings and always, you know, like you said, a chip on my shoulder and always having to be the guy that had to invest and put more into a fight than anyone else. And I guess that's just how it is. I don't really like people messing with my people. I don't like people thinking that they can beat me in general. So I definitely go into the game with the big ones and like to shut people down quick.
Christian Pulisic is as talented, as skilled a player as I've ever seen in America. First time you played with him, Weston, how long did it take for you to go, oh, he's different? Like, how long did it take?
Me and Christian go way back, honestly. I've known Christian. I met him at U.S. Soccer's U13, U14 national team camp. He was like my first friend. So we've known each other since 13 years old. And honestly, back then, like, you could see it. But obviously, you know, you're younger, you're competitive. I'm always thinking like, you know, I'm better. I can, right. You know. So, but, you know, whenever you get to the U15 age, the U17 age, then you're like, okay, you know, this guy's something special. He definitely is going places. So I would say probably when I was 17 or,
yeah,
you know, 15, 16 years old.
Well, you don't take a backseat to many people, I'll tell you that. So you grew up in Germany. Your dad was in the military, and now you're over in Juventus. You play with Cristiano Ronaldo, which is unbelievable. I mean, just honestly, just this is a dumb, basic question, but what is it like to play with him?
Oh, I mean, it's awesome, to be fair, like, because everyone thinks, you know, Cristiano's cocky, he's arrogant, he likes to, you know, go around flashy and everything, but he's actually very, like, genuine, nice guy. He's funny. He helps out all the young guys. He's, you know, lead by example and them. He's always doing something. He's working at home. He's just an all-around good guy. And I was surprised also when I first met him, because, you know, whenever I was younger, I had the same kind of perception as everyone else. Like, oh no, he's probably just like cocky or something. But, you know, he turned out to be completely different and kind of, you know, definitely changed my mind on everything.
Hey, congratulations. You scored the game tying goal against Mexico. And I think you're just an unbelievable star. I love your style. I love your game. I love your attitude. And I feel this is the most skilled United States men's national team. I just want you guys. I like the fact that it looks like you guys get along. I hope you do, because you play like you get along.
No, we definitely do. The whole group is like molded together. We all have known each other for, you know, a long time. Like I said, me and Christian since 13, known Tyler since 15, you know, he's known Gio since I don't know how long. So, you know, we definitely all get along, like, and bond very, very well off the field.
Weston, appreciate you coming on the show. I'll be watching.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. You play, I watch. Thanks, man. You bet.
Take care.
Weston McKennie, who is a dog. He'll go out there, and he has got – I mean, he's got a little football player in him. He's got a little dog. If he was a baseball player, he'd crash into the shortstop on the double play and break it up. He's tough. He's – you know, American soccer's got a lot of finesse guys through the years. I like my guys to be chippy. Brazilian players are chippy. I mean, if you watch the United States women's national team, our girls have attitudes. You know, I like attitude. Brandi Chastain, Mia Hamm, low attitude. Okay? That's why when
it's
we go into
it's the American way. It should be anyway.
Yeah. Let the Canadians be nice. We're not always nice. We're obnoxious. I like our women's national team has got an attitude. Megan Rapinoe got an attitude. I like a little attitude. A little chip on your shoulder. He's got it. They're good. These guys are really talented.
It was a great win for them.
All right. I got to go. I'm way back. I think I'm getting a sub sandwich here. That'll put me in a better mood. It's fun today. Hour 3 next.